Well, hey, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. There are some people who are sick. They don't. Rhonda has got some kind of bungalitis or something. It's not COVID, but anyway. So she's not going to be here tonight to play for the choir. And so we need somebody to play for the choir. So we're going to have to postpone it for another week, and so we can have a piano player. Caleb plays a pretty good piano, but we didn't give him enough advance notice to practice a little bit. He's a stickler on that. He wants to try to do his best, which is good. But anyway, so that's not going to happen. But the no youth gathering that's on the top of the thing here, that is happening. Because joy is here. Joy is here. Yay! How did that happen, Joy, that you got tested for the...
I got exposed Tuesday night, tested Friday night, was negative this morning.
Okay, all right. So she's okay. You can kiss and hug on her all you want. So that's fine. Well, be careful now, guys. Rod's not here, so he wouldn't appreciate that. But anyway, I was thinking, you're not Vondell.
Right.
Barry wouldn't appreciate that. And Barry is... Here he comes now. Okay. So, good to see you, Barry. I had you married off to somebody else there for a while. And Nathan's here. I think we said something about his birthday, but it's actually today, isn't it? It says so on the thing. How old?
10.
Whoa.
9:14 a.m.
Wow, I never knew anybody that knew their time of birth. Rodney and I are born on the same day, Rodney England and I. And, of course, we did the nursing home for a long, long time. And I think what it was we'd say brother. And so the people at the nursing home began to think we were brothers, physical, literal, blood brothers. And so then... Rodney and I figured out that that's what they were thinking, and so we told them that we're not blood brothers. We're born on the same day and all that kind of stuff, and my physical brother's name is Rodney, too. But anyway, so we told them all that. You know what they said? No, I don't believe that. They said, both of you have this. Both of you have this. You're not fooling us. We got it. So anyway... But Nathan has a birthday today, so let's sing happy birthday to him. Ready? Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Nathan, happy birthday to you. All right, buddy. He says, in lieu of a song, a new bicycle or motorcycle or something. Ah, bicycle. Okay, all right. You heard that request. Okay. Any other announcements that I should make or I've fouled up totally? Look on it. It says the Thursday night women's Bible study. That's still scheduled, but keep an eye out because Rhonda may not be feeling better by then. She actually is sick. Okay, so cancel that off your list. She won't be able to make it this Thursday night. And, of course, remember her in your prayer that she gets to feeling better. That's for sure. Okay, any other announcements I should be making that somehow I've messed up totally? Oh, Saturday, yes. That's this Saturday? By golly, it is, isn't it? Man, alive. November 20th already. Woo-wee. Okay, so don't forget that. Jed. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, and his mom and dad, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So, yep, his mom and dad and his brother.
Oh,
yeah.
And him and Jessica. Wow. Okay. Do you know what they have? Do they have the COVID-19?
I know for sure.
Okay, well, then that's wonderful. They'll get over that. They won't be able to catch it again for the rest of their life. Amen. All right. Okay. All right, well, let's remember them, especially, and all those that come to your mind, because obviously we've got some sick chickens here this morning. Well, they're not here, most of them, but that we know of. Lord, thank you for the day you've given us, even this kind of snowy, wet day. Lord, we do thank and pray for Rhonda. We know that she's just really feeling bad. We have this report about Taylor and Jessica and the whole family. And Lord, they're not feeling good at all. And it's probably the COVID-19. And so we know that that can be a very serious situation. So we ask you to just lay their tender hand upon them. I know that Taylor sent me a little note about his mom and dad. Pray, Father God, that you'll just keep them in your tender hands of mercy, especially, Lord. And Lord, for those that are struggling with sinus, like Vondell is, and now Rod has got the sinusitis thing. Anyway, there's all kinds of folks, Lord, that don't feel good today, that are under the weather. They really are very seriously ill. We pray, Father, you put your hand upon them. Be with them. Help those that are around to help them to get through this as soon as possible. Be with us now as we are here. We want your spirit to come, take control, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Good to see everybody here, period, especially our veterans.
Did anybody go any place on Veterans Day and get a free haircut or lunch or anything like that? Okay, we did too, you know, that was good. I didn't know we could get a haircut because I surely needed one, but anyway. So they were doing that too, okay. All right. Pledge to the flag. Ready? Let's stand at attention. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. No, they may not. We're going to sing, so keep standing.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, cannot buy your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count
your many blessings, see what God has done.
Before we sing the next song, is there anybody that would like to share a blessing this morning? Just speak out. Yeah. Amen. That's great. Anyone else? That'd be a hard one to top, though. Okay, let's sing the next song.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Lend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. Through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Our Father and Lord, we come to you. We thank you, Father, for a place where we can worship you in spirit and in truth, a place where it is at least climate-controlled, comfortable, and we thank you for the freedoms we have in this country for now. And we pray that you would bless this offering. Help us to be a blessing. And help us to bless you. Yes. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
blessing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims bright, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy laws and rules, thy woods and temple hills, my heart with rapture thrills, like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our Father's God to thee, Father of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, guys. If you have your Bible, turn over to Job chapter 19. You're going to say, what kind of a verse did he find in Job? Job 19, verse 25 through 27 this morning. My Bible has page 876. Probably no help, huh? Job 19, starting in verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my veins be consumed within me. Father, we do thank you who you are and what you do for us. We pray especially, Lord, for these this morning who are not able to be with us for one thing or another. But many people, Lord, are fighting some kind of illness this morning. So we pray that you would just touch them and raise them up, give them strength, help them to heal quickly. Be with us now as we're here this morning. We are your people. We want to praise you and thank you. We ask you to be with us. Open our hearts to the scripture this morning that we might see perhaps new light and give us encouragement for this day, for us to stand as those did before us. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, of course, Thursday was the national holiday. It was not Thanksgiving, although it's coming up on Thanksgiving. And we give thanks on Veterans Day. It was not Independence Day. Though we do celebrate freedom, it was not Valentine's Day, even though, again, we emphasize the sacrifice of love that was given by many. And, of course, you know, I'm talking about Veterans Day. It's a holiday celebrated in many countries all around the world. I don't know if you knew that or not. Some call it Armistice Day. Others call it Remembrance Day. No matter what you call it, it's a day to honor the men and women who served in the military. You say, thank you for your service, and there are many, many ways to do that. But in our confusing times, I think of the love of our country, the love for their fellow citizens and fellow soldiers and sailors and Marines. And many celebrate this holiday like others by going to the mall and shopping and all those kind of things. Although many shelves are empty nowadays at the store. But I suggest maybe we concentrate on the flag. Lift that flag high. Spend a little more time, perhaps, in just general prayer for those who are serving right now in the military, and to show some sense of thankfulness for their duty. I understood that we were exhorted to spend 2 minutes in silence. I would think that maybe that would be a good idea to spend that 2 minutes in prayer. So I would encourage you to do that. Some wear a red poppy. Have you seen that? I don't see that much anymore, and I've looked for it. Of course, I believe the Veterans Day is a day to be taken serious, but it's not a time for us to mope around and be sad. We remember the sacrifice, and we are thankful for the freedom that we have. I want to think with you that even though many gave their lives, that those who put their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God alone, that's not the end. That's not the end. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin is worms destroyed," isn't that kind of a graphic illustration there? "Yet in my flesh I shall see God." I know, you know, that the greatest promise of God ever made to us is the promise of everlasting life in him. And that's, to me, interesting that there in Job, which many people think is the oldest book in the Bible. If it is, okay, fine. If it's not, it's still in the Bible. It's still inspired. I'm not going to debate that point. But if it is the oldest book in the Bible, then that means that in the oldest book in the Bible, God was talking about resurrection and promising that great gift. Jesus said over in Matthew 22, he was talking to those Pharisees, of course, who, and we've looked at this passage not too long ago, who were trying to, and Sadducees especially, who were trying to make fun of the idea of resurrection. And of course, they brought that illustration, you know, that Deuteronomy speaks about, if the husband dies and leaves his widow, then the brother should take the widow, raise up seed unto him. And they came up with that idea that, you know, not one brother, but not two brothers, not seed. I love the way Jesus responded to that, because, you know, I would have probably been going, "Oh gosh, you know, oh my goodness." But Jesus said, "What? You do error because you don't know the scriptures." And they didn't. That was the Sadducees, you remember, who did not believe in the resurrection. And he said, "You do error because you don't know the scriptures." He said, "There's no marriage in heaven. That's an earthly thing. There's no giving and taking in marriage." And so he goes on to say that those who are in heaven are going to be like angels in heaven. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Well, Veterans Day has its roots, of course, not in World War II, but in World War I, the great war that was so terrible, so horrific, that it was called the war to end all wars. Obviously, it didn't do its job. And that war, though, shook the foundations of many countries, many old empires. Their borders changed. The Austro-Hungarian Empire, for example, was basically no more after that. Millions and millions upon millions dead. And it was talked about, and if you go back and read sermons of that era, it's amazing the apocalyptic terms that the pastors and preachers and those kind of folks talked about in that day, because it was so horrendous, so horrendous. Peace came on the 11th hour, the 11th day, and the 11th month. And that word, or that phrase, I guess I'd say, expression, the 11th hour, became a phrase to talk about all hope is lost. An 11th hour, for example, call from a governor to penitentiary, and he's commuting somebody's execution. That's an 11th hour pardon. But it's not really about time, is it? It's really about urgency. It's the urgency of the time. Job says over there in verse 23, "Oh, that my words were written down engraved in stone. Remember, Job's friends, they were basically pretty pessimistic, weren't they? They came to, I always think that's funny, they came to help him. And, of course, basically they said, well, there's no hope. You might as well just realize the futility of the situation. You might as well just curse God and die. That's some great advice, isn't it? Just some great advice. Those are his friends. Have you got friends like that? Well, we all do. We all do. They're very, very pessimistic. And I think to myself, I think we're very pessimistic in our society today. Really are. But Job said, in spite of all that was going on in his life, in spite of the great suffering that he was personally having, Job makes that glorious statement, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Okay, everything's messed up. Everything's bad. Everything's going to the dogs. All that kind of stuff. Misery upon misery. Misery upon misery. But Job said, wait a second, guys. My faith in God. My trust in the Lord. Remarkable, isn't it? Well, the New Testament gives us that picture, too, in that the cross of the Lord Jesus was a terrible instrument of death. Matter of fact, the Romans picked that particular instrument of death because they thought this is just excruciating. Excruciating pain. And they can put a guy on a cross and put him on a thoroughfare road. And when people go by, they'll say, hey, what's happened to that guy? And somebody will say, he messed with the Romans. And so it was basically a big billboard, a flashing electric billboard. Don't mess with us or this will happen to you. So the cross is a cruel instrument of death, no doubt about it. And Jesus endured that cross, but the tomb is a postcard of hope, isn't it? Death could not hold him. Sin could not crush him. The empty tomb means he lives. Matthew 28 puts it this way. He said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn on the first day of the week. I wonder what the first day of the week is. What's today? Sunday is the first day of the week. I always get caught up on that verse. It's just a personal thing. I always think, you know, these folks who are Sabbatarians, they don't know anything about the Bible. You say, well, how could you say that, Pastor? Because they just don't know. They don't get it. This is a New Testament church. God has done something new in Jesus Christ. He's turning the page on the old to the new. Read the book of Hebrews, for crying out loud. Get a little bit of knowledge. This is the first day of the week. This is what kind of day? Resurrection Day. That's why we're here. Not because it's just the first day of the week. It's because God did something so glorious, so powerful, so unbelievable, so world-changing, so earth-shattering, that he raised up his son. The grave could not hold him. The cross could not kill him. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. I like that where it says, you know, and the angels came and there was a great earthquake. Oh, my goodness. Did the earthquake come to let Jesus out? Mm-mm. The earthquake came to let the ladies see in. That there was an empty tomb there. And his countenance was like lightning. That's really hard for me to say. Because I want to say it a different way. You want to know how to say that word? It's not lightning. It's lightning. Everybody knows that. It's thunder and lightning, isn't it? But it was lightning. His raiment was like snow. I shouldn't get off on these tangents. I always think about people who come and tell me or something, you know, Pastor, an angel came to me last night and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And I think to myself, okay, you're somewhat excited about that. If you're still excited about that in a year from now, I'll give it some credence. If you're still excited about it 10 years from now, I'll give it some credence. Listen, you can't encounter an angel of God whose countenance is like lightning, whose voice is like thunder, all those kind of things, and say, well, that was kind of cool. He's on a taco. Jesus is on a taco? No, he's the risen Lord of glory. Oh, well, that's for nothing. That didn't count you down. He is risen. He's not here. See, come see the place where he laid. Interesting enough, In the first century, Christians were called Miles Christi, M-I-L-E-S, but that's not English, that's Latin. Does anybody know what that means? Christi is probably Christ. Okay, you got it. Something Christ. What was it? Well, I couldn't hear you. Little? Well, not exactly. Soldier. Soldier of the cross. Although in the scripture tells us that they were first called Christians because they were like little Christ. Exactly. But that was talking about what the pagan world looked at Christians as soldiers of Christ. Because indeed, the opposite was paganus, P-A-G-A-N-U-S. We say pagan. It wasn't too negative. It was soldier of the cross or a civilian. So pagans are civilians. They have not enlisted. They've not seen the light. God hasn't blessed them. They haven't become part of God's glorious church, God's great family. They're pagans. They're floating around doing their own thing. They're pagans. So what kind of slang? I don't know. Slang, is that the right word? But to be a Christian then was to be a person who had joined up, who had enlisted in the household and family of God through Christ Jesus, who is Lord. They became part of that great army. I didn't have anything to do with picking out those songs this morning, but we sang Onward Christian Soldier. That's who we are. We like it or lump it. I think it was about 20-some years ago the Methodists wanted to take that out of the hymn book. Did you know that? Too much war. Too much stuff there. No, we're supposed to be soldiers of the cross. We're supposed to have a discipline about us in our walk with Christ. When he's, listen, you guys who are in the military, Lou, when your sergeant told you something, did you say, hey, I don't know about that. Let me talk about it. I don't really think, is that what you said? I almost asked that. Okay, Lou, when you gave an order, and the sergeant looked at you, did you discuss it?
Rarely.
Yeah. No, you got it, you obeyed. You obeyed. All right. What rank were you?
Second lieutenant.
Okay. I knew somebody else was like that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I was just a buck sergeant. So whatever Lou said, I was going to be. Yes, sir. Yeah. You know, one time, here I go again. One time, we were supposed to be doing a nuclear drill, some kind of nuclear thing, disaster or whatever, and I was on the nuclear drill, and they gave me a pair of white cotton overalls. They gave me some paper tape to put around my pants so I could do that, put around my sleeve, and had a pair of white cotton gloves to put on. And I think I probably had one of these little know-nothing masks to put on. And, you know, I was sitting out on the flight line, and I had had a forklift, an all-terrain forklift, and it had the safe that had all the top-secret stuff like that in from base ops because we were doing this drill. And I got to thinking when I was sitting there on that forklift, what kind of protection is a white cotton pair of coveralls? Is that really going to help me any? You know? I don't think so. But I guess, you know, that's as close as they come. But the funny thing was, I'm sitting there with that safe on my forklift, all-terrain forklift, and this major comes up to me and he says, where are you supposed to be taking that? I said, no, I don't know, sir. They told me to bring it right here. Well, you need to put that on the airplane. I said, which airplane, sir? You don't know? No, I was told to come here. So he marches off, comes back, and he says, well, I don't know what airplane either, but put it down. Right then, one of the hydraulic lines popped off and just went and painted him with hydraulic fluid. It was all I could do to just not laugh, because he was not happy. And so he told me, you know, get this forklift out, there's some other words there, and go get one that works. Well, okay, I can do that. Of course, by the time I went back to motor pool, came back, the thing was over. Everybody was dead, I guess. But anyway, we're not civilians. We're soldiers. We take our orders from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our commander. When he says go, we go. When he says come, we come. When he says stand still, we stand still. When he says pick up a safe and take it to the flight line, we pick up a safe and take it to the flight line. We're under orders. We're not civilians. But our weapons of warfare are not like the weapons of war. We don't have and we don't use swords, nor spears or armor or shields or anything like that. What's our weapon? Faith and hope. Paul exhorts us over there in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't have to amplify some of those. You already know who those are right now. Okay? But our weapons are what? Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. We have weapons too. They're not weapons of physical warfare. They're weapons of spiritual warfare. And if you don't recognize and realize that we're in a spiritual battle in this world, then you're missing something because the devil's eating you alive. We are soldiers. We're the witnesses for God every place we go. Every place we go. I had a friend in Korea, and he got saved. He ran over a little kid and killed the kid, and boy, he was just terribly emotionally, psychologically messed up for a long time. But he had a jacket. When I first started to know him, on the back of the jacket, he had that guy, Yosemite Sam, you know, shooting the pistols. And it said, turn or burn, sucker, heaven or hell. I thought, wow, Mike, you know, and that's when I wasn't a Christian. I thought, oh, that's kind of wild, isn't it? And so the funny thing was, though, after he became a Christian, guess what? He took that jacket back down to the tailor shop and had all that picked out. All that picked out. And he put, Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, yeah. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's our commander. We're his instruments. So the metaphorical language that's being used about us as Christians, it's very appropriate. Angels are called the heavenly host, aren't they? Dr. Luke, when he was announcing the birth of Jesus, said, and some wag said that Christians are the foot soldiers, but the angels of the Lord are the airborne, the army of the skies. They show up at the 11th hour. The world was hanging on the edge of destruction, but the angels of the Lord came and announced this good news that Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, has come. The multitude of heavenly hosts said what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. I know many modern people scoff and ridicule at the idea of any kind of spiritual idea, especially angels or anything like that. But in the first century, there were actually those people who, quote unquote, didn't believe that either. They were called Sadducees. They were kind of the nitpicking legalists of their day. They missed the whole point of salvation. They missed the whole point of salvation history. They missed the whole message of the Old Testament. And Jesus took them on. And he affirmed there is a resurrection, and there is, and there are angels. Believers will be raised incorruptible in the image of Christ, resurrected. And Jesus said, you're not going to be angels, but you're going to be like angels. We're in a war, a spiritual war. It's the 11th hour, friends. All hands on deck. We as the church of God, we're kind of like a hospital, more than anything else, for spiritual warriors. We extend to them love and mercy, help them to heal, You know, the church shouldn't be and should never have a reputation as shooting the wounded, should it? But we kind of have that too. We should be applying the salve of fellowship, the salve of the ointment, of the power of God in the scriptures. We should be doing all those things. People who come as we're gathered, when we're scattered, we're this church scattered, but when we're together, we're the church. They should be encouraged, lifted up, healed if necessary, touched by the Spirit of God. Well, there's many ways that we can do all those kind of things. Equipping them and equipping them in the name of the Lord to tell the good news that Jesus saves. We need to join our hearts, our hands together, live together in Christ, because nothing's impossible for us. We're like the saints of old. And you think about that in a sense. Have you ever heard of George Whitefield? I'm sure you have. He was a great old time evangelist, pastor. His best friend was John Wesley, D.L. Moody, Moody Bible Church up here. What was Mr. Moody before the Lord touched him and called him to service? What was he? Yeah. If the Lord can use somebody to repair shoes, he can use you. He touched the world, didn't he? I heard a little story one time that he preached someplace, and a lady stayed after the service to talk to Mr. Moody, and she told Mr. Moody, she said, you know, you use all kinds of words like lightning that you shouldn't use. It's lightning. And you need to correct your way, because you're talking to lots of folks out there. You're influencing lots of folks. And he said to her, well, ma'am, when was the last time you shared with somebody about Jesus? She said, well, I've never done that. He says, well, I like my language better. Yes, God can use anybody. God can use anybody. It's not a spelling test. It's not a grammarian thing. It's God using us as who we are in the Spirit of God to touch other people with the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus might be magnified and lifted up. Charles Finney, I talked to somebody last Sunday about Charles Finney, and Finney was an evangelist in the Second Great Awakening, and he was in the New York area. Can you imagine the New York area, the New York City having revival? Well, they did. They did. And he was going to factories and those kind of things, and they were allowing him to come and preach during the lunch hour and things like that to the factory workers and those kind of things. And the thing that I thought was so amazing was that when he would come into a factory, like you're coming into those doors, the people in the factory would come under conviction. You say, what do you mean come under conviction? I'm talking about people making things, working lathes, doing whatever kind of particular job they were doing, and the Holy Spirit of God would come upon them, and their hearts were broken before he ever said a word! Before ever said a word, the Spirit of God worked in that place and thousands came to know Jesus. Don't you think it might be a wonderful time for God again to do that? I think so. And there's lots of incompetent guys like me that he could use. Yes. Unbelievable. Billy Sunday, he was right over here in Winona Lake, or that's where he made his headquarters. Have you ever been over there? Billy Sunday Tabernacle was over there. They have a kind of a beautiful building over there now. The college is over there, Winona Lake. It's kind of dedicated to him and those kind of things. Does anybody know what Billy Sunday did before he became evangelist? Baseball. A baseball player. Can you imagine that? A baseball player. Yeah, a baseball player. Isn't that amazing? Now, he didn't know any better. When he got to the pulpit, listen, I want to tell you about Jesus. He literally took his shoe off and pounded the pulpit. Aren't you glad I don't do that? Yeah, okay. Yeah. God could use anybody and use him in a great way. He touched many people in baseball because he was a baseball player. But God just kept expanding his tent, and used him in many, many ways. How about missionaries? You know any missionaries? How about William Carey? Anybody know anything about William Carey? Pioneer missionary to India. Adonai Judson and Anne, his wife, they were missionaries to India as well. You know, they translated the New Testament into Burmese. Did you know, though, that he was thrown in prison many, many times? Now, there's somebody else in the New Testament was thrown in prison quite a bit. That was the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? So he was in good company. You see, the world is scared to death of people knowing about Christ. They're scared of this book. They're scared of it. When our guys went over there, the Desert Storm and those kind of things, what did they want our guys to do? Take those little New Testament, pocket New Testaments, and put them in a basket someplace, and you cannot give those out. Now, I don't know what motivated General Schwarzkopf, but you don't remember what he said? He said, they're keeping their New Testaments or we're going home. All of a sudden, the Saudis decided, well, maybe it's okay. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. These guys changed the world, and they were just normal, ordinary people. Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission. I don't know about you, but I know about Jim and Elizabeth Elliott, and you know them. Jim went to be a missionary to the Aka Indians, and they killed him. And I think there was two other guys with him. They killed him. But they went back. And those people were led to Christ. I heard her on the radio all the time. Did anybody hear Elizabeth Elliott on the radio? Just me? Oh, my. Missed something. She was really good. And she spoke with a real passion in her life. And the energy, the wisdom that she spoke about was always to glorify Jesus. That's our mission. It's not hard. All know Christ. All become soldiers of the cross. Stop being civilians. Stop being on the sidelines. We've got a lot of civilians. They're all over the place. These pagans are all over the place. They need to be enlisted. They need to be enlisted. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how you got in the Army, Lou, but praise God for you and for your service. And second lieutenant, I wasn't trying to berate officers. My dad was not an officer. He was a senior master sergeant. He was in for 42 years, 48 years. I can't remember. I just recently got out of the Air Force myself because I was always in the Air Force. Didn't know that, but I was. But it's amazing. It's amazing what God can do. It's amazing. There's a certain amount of discipline that comes in the military that's not harmful to us. We need to translate from that civilian stuff to being more willing to obey and go when we're sent. Sir, I don't think I want to do that. No. No, you don't have those kind of prerogatives. It's a yes, sir, and go. You say, well, I don't want to trust those guys. Half of those guys, who's in charge of those guys who are in charge of us? You know, okay, I got you. But in the Lord's army, you don't have to worry about who's in charge. It is He and Him alone. Well, what could we do if we were halfway committed to Christ? I think great things. I think great things. What could we do if we were sold out for Christ? We read about those times, and it's almost like reading about something that is so distant and so far away that we can't quite get our arms around it. But these were real people in real time, in the reality of the world, a fallen world, wherein Satan is the ruler of, who proclaimed Christ. Father, thank you. for who you are and what you're about. Lord, many, many times we fail to meet that standard. But you just take us by the hand, say, get up, dust off the dirt. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Use us, Lord. Help us to be the good news people. The world's got plenty of bad news people. Help us to be the good news people, sold out for you with a message of hope, deliverance, and life. I know my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth he shall stand that day. Father, thank you for those who are here today. Be with those that could not be here because of illness. Touch their lives. Touch their physical bodies. For these things we ask in that mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I think we have an invitation song. If the Lord's been talking to you and you need to make something public, you come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. This is the Lord's house. We are his people. And we want to encourage you to do and respond to the Lord.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to ransom my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
This is my beautiful, lovely wife, long-suffering, gentle, beautiful woman. How that happened, I don't know. But I came and I asked her, are you from Texas? She said, no. No. I said something and she said, well, I'm stationed at Maxwell Field. I'm a second lieutenant. Sure you are. Sure you are. Yeah. Yeah. So she finally married me. And the only bad part over all these years is when I get out of line, she says, attention, I have to salute. Rick, would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you give us, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to gather among believers.
Amen. Be careful out there as you go. I think the snow is not really bad or anything of that nature, but it might be a little slick. You never can tell.